Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Thursday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got to admit, I'm a little tired. I've been burning the candle at both ends. Staying up late, stress painting, three nights in a row. And I went out with our good friend Kirk Bankstead, a fine guest on yesterday's program. I welcome a fine guest back to today's big program. He's Dr. Harvey Kay, a professor emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. And most importantly, a friend of mine, and a Cole Packer fan who's feeling a little heartbroken still. How you doing, Harvey?
Yeah, as I said, I want to complain to you. Mostly because you assured me the Packers were going to win that playoff game against the 49ers. And I won't kid you by saying, hey, I bet a lot of money on your word, because I didn't. But seriously speaking, the question I have for you now is, do we rip off the Band-Aid and trade Rodgers or hold on to him?
Oh, man. I wasn't prepared for a tough question like that. Depends on what you get in value in return. I can just tell you, man, the 49ers have had that guy's number in the playoffs. He's 0-4 in the playoffs against the Niners. And I feel bad because, you know, we got fans in Northern California listening in Eureka and all across the liberal lefty seaboard. And I got to think we got some 49er fans that were rooting against the guy the whole time. You know, ultimately, everywhere else saw our hero, Aaron Rodgers, as sort of a anti-COVID loudmouth jerk. And they were all rooting against him, Harvey.
Yeah. A second question. I know you don't want to talk football the whole time, but the second question is, who do you want, the Bengals or the Rams?
I'm on the Bengals bandwagon.
We're on the same side. That's very nice to hear.
I read a very compelling story about Joe Burrow in the Washington Post. And, you know, I got to tell you, my sports viewership has declined as democracy has declined. You know, like I've been distracted by the politics. But Joe Burrow, I think he's a compelling young man. And, you know, the Rams, L.A., they got the sun, they got the beaches, they got all the pretty girls. They don't need a Super Bowl championship.
Yeah, I actually think they ought to be that you should never allow a team to play in the Super Bowl at home. That should definitely not be allowed.
Well, fortunately, when they did it up in Minneapolis, that wasn't a problem.
Yeah, right. But the other thing I was going to say is, I did my doctorate, my PhD at LSU. So I've been a Burrow fan for when he was at LSU. And now, though I'm a diehard Packers fan, the fact is that it is great to see the Bengals, if we can't go, to see them go to the Super Bowl, if only to spread the wealth. That's all.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I've always seen Cincinnati as sort of the Kentucky part of southeastern Ohio. Mm. And Joe Burrow, the fact that the kid grew up and went to high school there and had tried to do the right thing. He first enrolled at Ohio State before moving on and winning a national championship at LSU. Yeah. But the kid lifted up the whole region of the state on his shoulders. Like, literally, it's a very compelling story. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's a four-time NFC championship loser. Couldn't even make it that far this year. So anyways, I am heartbroken. And I've got to relegate my attention back to politics, Harvey.
Believe me, I only bring this up because you're a fellow Packers fan. People can't see it. I know you're wearing the cap. I wear the cap when I go out, so had to do it.
Well, you know, you stuck it in between my shoulder blades. Thanks for that, Harvey. You are listening to the Devil's Advocate Sports Talk Live radio show. We've got Dr. Harvey Kay from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. And Harvey, I got to tell you, I am a homer. As a sports fan, I'm a total homer. But whenever there is news from my backyard, it always catches my attention first. And a lot of new reporting at the New York Times would seem to indicate that Wisconsin was sort of the genesis of the coup d'etat and the plan to slate false electors. It apparently began here in the state of Wisconsin. And it wasn't about preserving legal remedies, because the Wisconsin Supreme Court had already ruled before those false electors cast their supposed ballots for Trump. So what was it precisely, Harvey? I mean, it was a coup d'etat, but it started in our backyard, man.
You see, you're telling me something now. The reports out of the Times are that the whole effort to get rid of the honest electors emanated from Wisconsin?
Well, the actual memo came out on the very day here in the state of Wisconsin that Trump would have had to request a full state recount. And as we very much recall, Trump did not request a recount, only requested a recount in the two most Democratic areas, in Dane County and Milwaukee County. So it wasn't about that per se. You know what I mean? It wasn't that he actually thought that there was legitimacy to the recount, or that there were actually more votes out there that could have been counted, because he didn't take that option. So Attorney Cheeseborough made proposition to Jim Troupas, Scott Walker's old buddy, and this proposition started here in the state of Wisconsin. And effectively, because under Wisconsin and Arizona law, if you read this memo, and they published the full memo at the New York Times, we basically, you know, the only requirement for selecting the electors is that they be in the Wisconsin Capitol on December 14th. So this state, this plan really started here. And it was executed here by 10 false electors, including, you know, the head of the Republican Party of the state of Wisconsin, Andrew Hitt. And he's a lawyer by vocation. He knew better. They were committing fraud when they signed it.
Well, look, I mean, on a grand scale, think about it this way. When I came to Wisconsin 44 years ago, in fact, I came to the state that I thought had tremendous voter integrity, tremendous political integrity, and basically was a laboratory for the nation regarding democracy. I mean, so many of the best things that had been developed in the 20th century actually, I mean, emanated from the state of Wisconsin. I mean, New York and California can claim they're, you know, that they're the progressive states, but for the 20th century, we were the model, even in spite of McCarthy, okay? Despite Senator Joe McCarthy, it's the case. And then what we've seen is really the corruption of Wisconsin politics. I mean, the role of one or more billionaires, the outsiders like Koch, who entered into the game and basically imposed upon us, Scott Walker, who then imposed upon us a right-to-work state project. I mean, and that reapportionment that we're still suffering the consequences of. I mean, this is a state where if you had just vote, you know, like the popular vote determines the makeup of the legislature, I have little doubt that we might well be a Democratic state. Right now, we're holding on by our fingernails. And every day on Wisconsin Public Radio news site, we find out yet another bill coming through the legislature from some Republican right winger that wants to either smash education, take money away from higher education, let schools suffer the consequences of allowing people to have guns on school grounds. I mean, you ask yourself, whatever happened to the state that I came to, you know, 44 years ago, and that I've been so proud to say is my home state. So, I mean, so when you look at it like that, this particular example you gave me seems to be just one more case in which the Republicans are willing to literally suppress Democratic life in Wisconsin. And, you know, all I can tell you is that 2022 is not supposed to be a banner year for Democrats, but I hope the Democrats convince their fellow Wisconsinites here in our state that we have got to hold on. We have got to hold on, at least for the meantime, to the governorship, and we have got to send one of our Democratic candidates for the U.S. Senate to Washington and not return Ron Johnson to Washington, D.C.
Well, we'll get to Rojo in just a minute. Let's talk about Jim Troupas for just a minute longer. He was the Trump attorney. He's from Middleton. He's from where I live. And he also helped defend the redistricting, the reapportionment you referenced, the most partisan gerrymander perhaps in the history of the nation, defended in the courts by Jim Troupas. The voter ID law signed into law by Scott Walker, the former governor of the state of Wisconsin, the voter suppression efforts. And of course, voter ID was first ruled legal by Posner, a federal court out of Indiana ruled that. But Indiana did something totally differently. They expanded access to voter IDs. Under Scott Walker's governorship, we did just the opposite. There are certain places in the state of Wisconsin, your DMV is open like one Wednesday a month.
Yeah. I remember that. I definitely do remember that. I'll just say that fortunately, I'm in an assembly district represented by Christina Shelton, who I'm extremely pleased to have as my assembly. She also happens to be a very dear friend of mine. And my understanding is that we're pretty safe in this assembly district. But across the state, you can be guaranteed this coming year that the Republicans are going to do their damnedest. Okay, to suppress the vote, to disappoint the vote, to challenge the votes of legitimate citizens. I didn't realize Troupas was from Middleton. I always associate Middleton, I think it was with Feingold, not with the likes of the character you just mentioned.
Well, Russ Feingold, also one of our fine citizens, you know, amongst the three most notorious, Feingold, Troupas, and yours truly. I got a fine guest. He's Harvey K., Dr. Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. And, you know, we're talking some Homer politics, a little backyard politics. Let's talk about Rojo. Did you see the new reporting at the Washington Post that Rojo was in a briefing on January 4th of 2021? Basically, a plan was hatched to use NSA raw data to justify seizing voting machines, and Senator Ron Johnson was in the room, knew that that was going on, and still planned to object to the Electoral College certification of Joe Biden as president.
Yeah, that's, and the rumor has it that, rumor has it that he was directed to do so under a hypnosis when he was visiting Moscow on that July 4th.
You know, I read recently, someone said, I didn't have a problem with Ron Johnson going to Russia on the 4th of July. My problem is he came back.
He came back. That was great. Yeah. You know what? I got to tell you a story. I won't name the name of the former students, but I had a former student who was...
Hold that thought, Harvey. We'll tell this story on the other side. No music, but we'll come back. More Devil's Advocates and perhaps your phone calls at 844-967-2789.